Good morning.
Trust and pray everybody is doing well and the sun is shining on you and all is right with the world. Amen? Amen. There we go. We're back after having some time to, I guess you call it relax. I'll tell you a little bit more about that shortly here. But all I can say is this, and you're going to understand more as we progress today. But God is good.
All the time.
God really, really is good, but it is a pleasure to be back with each and every one of us. Look around at somebody and give them a warm smile and a wave, yeah, maybe a wink. Just to, like I say, you know, we're not shaking hands anymore now because we're not wanting to pass anything around. But give it that smile. Don't give it what I'm going to call the Baptist smile, you know, like you're sitting there, and I'm a country boy, like you've been eating green persimmons, just like, boy, that makes me want to come to church when I see you like that. But anyway, you know, we ought to be glad just to be able to get together with God's people, to gather around His Word, to spend that time in prayer. And what a true, true blessing we have as we have the opportunity to do that today and do it in freedom. So as we think about that, remember those who are guarding our freedom. The Lord always does that. But also our military guys that are deployed, those that are overseas, those that are keeping a watchful eye to give us the rights and the freedoms that we have today. So keep those guys in your prayers, not only right now, but each and every day. And if you're part of our online audience, you're watching with us today, we're glad that you've joined us. Be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito. He's back there. He'll be a part of watching what's going on there. As always, if you have any questions, you can type those in to Dr. K, and he'll get you squared away and get an answer for you. And we certainly do enjoy that particular opportunity. And I want to remind you today, like I say, most folks in here know Monica. Monica had some oral surgery this past week, and she's had a little bit of a reaction to some medication that she's been having. So please keep Monica Queen in your prayers as she recovers. Val is her caregiver. You know, but Val says she's had her hands full here for a couple of days. And if you know Monica, you know that. And by the way, if you're watching Monica, we love you, girl. We're praying for you. So at any rate, let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin our service today. Father, as we come to you once again, we're grateful for this time that we can come together. And Lord, help us to never take those opportunities for granted. Lord, we're grateful that you give us the opportunity to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And Father, today we come together without fear of intervention by law or persecution because of the rights that have been fought for. And Lord, today, help us to never take for granted the fact that we can come to you in prayer. Father, I'm often reminded of the days of the Old Testament when there was a barrier between you and man. But Lord, we thank you today for your Son, Jesus, who when he gave up the ghost on Calvary's cross, that temple veil was rent from top to bottom, signifying that the only mediator between you and us is Jesus Christ. So through Christ today, we get to come into your presence as your children. And Lord, we're grateful and thankful for that. Help us to never take that for granted. And Lord, today as we gather, we pray that you will be in our midst. You say where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And Lord, we pray that today you will show up in each and every one of our individual lives. Lord, we know that you will do that corporately, but Lord, may we be tuned into you today individually, that we would get the word that you have for us today. Lord, individually as well as corporately, that we might walk closer to you. Lord, that you might call the wayward home and that you might save the lost. So, Father, right now, we focus upon you. Help us to put aside the cares of the day for these few moments that we will spend together to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. And then, Lord, give us courage to make adjustments where adjustments are needed as we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand and join as join me as we sing Holy, 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 hymn number 2.
Holy.
Sunshine.
seated as we turn to 206. Blessed be the name.
Thank you. Right.
Please join me in 212, I love you, Lord. Think about the words as we're singing.
Passages out of Matthew's gospel in chapter 14. Like I say, I've been somewhat out of the loop for a little while, just having time to be out of town and to be on vacation. But much like everything these days, that was a little different as well. I don't know exactly how things were back here or where you are, but I don't know that I have seen as many cloudy, rainy days as we saw when we were down at the beach for 2 weeks. I mean, that was bizarre. I mean, yeah, you figure, hey, a day or two here, a day or two there. It was like dark and overcast every day. Then it would tease us. The sun would come out for just long enough, you know, for you to start to enjoy it, and then a storm would roll in. I mean, thunder and lightning and all the good stuff that goes along with it. Well, I think it was the 6th, the 6th or 7th of July. Like I said, I barely know what day it is today. I got a call from one of my neighbors, and he said, there's a little problem at your house. I said, well, okay. I said, what's the problem? And they said, well, we had some bad storms here, and they said it's been raining. And, I mean, we had some winds, and there is a tree that's fallen at your house. And I was like, oh, okay. And he said, it's bad. I was like, oh. I said, well, did it hit the house? He said, well, yeah. Well, so, yeah, I'm 200 miles away. I'm like, well, what's going on? So then I started to get more phone calls. And then I'm like, maybe we better go back and see what's going on. So we drive back, Blake and I, from Myrtle Beach to find a 90-plus foot tall oak tree has fallen, it has hit the corner of the house, and literally crushed Blake's state-issued car. I mean, flat as a pancake. I got pictures. I'll show you if you want to see it. So I'm sitting there thinking, and now maybe this is the reason why the guy was kind of indicating you might want to come look at this. Because we were just pretty much getting started on vacation. Now, imagine the thoughts that go through your head when the storm comes along. How many of y'all had storms over the last couple weeks? I mean, literal, okay, you've been in them. Were they pretty bad around here? Like I said, I'm not sure around here. But sometimes what happens is you get to the point where you just kind of duck and cover, even those that are big and brave. Every now and then that real close lightning strike and that loud crack of thunder will even make you go, ooh, what was that? It begins to shake the house, and then you're uncertain as to what goes on, but you know that Mother Nature can bring about some havoc and some mayhem. Now, I just knew that what the Lord was telling me, he said, there's some stuff that's going on here. So as Blake and I began to come back, I also thought about the fact that, once again, there is nothing that takes God by surprise. There's not a single storm that happens that he doesn't know about. There's not a single issue in your life. Now, see, we call circumstances in our lives, we often will call storms, won't we? There will be storms that will happen in your life, and they are completely out of your control. There is nothing that you can do about it. Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, if I was there, what was I going to do? Hold the tree up? You know, if I was there, would I look out to the storm and say, you need to go that way? Sometimes there are things that are just completely out of your control. In fact, more often than not, things are out of your control. But they're not out of God's control. Now, I want to draw a little bit of a parallel here today in a very familiar passage that we see in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And I want you to think about the storms that you've had, whether they were literal storms, whether they're circumstantial storms, whether you're in the middle of one right now. And I want us to consider what happens after the storm. You see, the storm came through before I got the phone call. The tree fell before I got the phone call. I didn't even know what was going on until after the phone call. The storm had moved away, sort of. My neighbor, who was kind of helping look after the house, said that out in our neighborhood, they had 7 inches of rain in 2 hours. Over a 7-day period of time, right at 13 inches of rain. The reason my tree fell was because it floated to the surface. I guess that's the best way to say it. And not only, it was perfectly in line with my outbuilding. It fell right through it. It was pretty. Raked off the gutters off the house, which, by the way, had only been there a year. Just, matter of fact, when we were coming back from vacation, the guy was finishing doing the gutters last year. Yay! How many of you are sitting there cheering on the circumstances and the storms that are in your life? Blake was a little freaked out. You know, he's been on the job 6 months, and you got to call your supervisor and say, we got a problem. My state-issued car is now flat as a pancake in the driveway. And honey, let me tell you, I'm talking, it was flat. A tree hit it so hard it broke the axle, all the glass blew out of it. My neighbor told me his wife was at the stop sign at the corner when it happened, said she'll probably have post-traumatic stress disorder after hearing that go off. But yet, you know, the interesting part about it was God didn't have us there. We didn't have to watch that. We didn't have to see that. He sheltered us from that. By the way, there was another time in the life of my residency out there that the same sort of thing happened. Trees fell over. We weren't there either. We were at church when that happened. The Lord has kind of said, let me move you aside. I got some things I got to do. Now, what happens when all the dust settles? What is your reaction in the middle of the storm? What is your reaction after the storm? You know, I was picking with Blake, which he didn't think it was really funny at the time when we were standing there beside the smashed car. I said, that reminds me, it was a part of a movie where a guy's car was destroyed. And I said, you know, I need to get a video of you standing by the car just going, I didn't get it because he didn't think it was funny at the time. Maybe now, but... At any rate, how do you react to the storms, which, by the way, are outside of your control? Are we acting as Christian people ought? And are we realizing that often the storms of our lives are the vehicle of God's coming in our lives? Did you hear me? Often the storms are the vehicle of His coming, and He is wanting to do something really incredible for you through that storm. And I'll give you an example of that in just a moment. But right now, let's look at Matthew chapter 14. And like I said, this is a very familiar passage, so I'm going to take it a little bit verse by verse instead of the whole part of it. But look at Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. Now, I want you to notice something very particular about this verse. I want you to fill in the next word when I stop. It says, immediately Jesus made His disciples get in the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. Do you know what that means? It wasn't a choice. Remember what I said a moment ago? Often the storms of your life are not a choice. Nobody goes, oh, here's a storm. Let's go run into it. Oh, here's thunder and lightning. Oh, here's a tornado. Let's see if we can wind up in, like Dorothy at the Wizard of Oz. Most people are looking for shelter when the storm takes place, right? This was completely out of the disciples' control. Jesus made them go get in the boat. Now, let me pause for just a moment to ask you this question. Do you think Jesus knew there was going to be a storm coming? If you don't know the answer to that question, it's yes. Do you know why Jesus knew the storm was coming? Because He was in control of the storm. He was going to allow it. Now, some people would sit back and say, so you're saying that Jesus deliberately sent His disciples into a bad storm? Let me clear it up for you. Yes, He did. He knew it was coming. Because he was in control of it. He knew He was going to send His disciples. He made His disciples go get into the boat. And here's why. Nobody wants to encounter storms, do we? We certainly don't. He made them go get in the boat. He sent the multitudes away. And then verse 23 says, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. So Jesus is having some alone time with the Father. The disciples are in a boat headed toward a storm, which Jesus knows. The disciples don't know that. The multitudes are gone. Jesus is having some quiet time, with the Father. And it says, latter part of verse 23, now when evening came, He was alone there. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I like that word. I call that a grandma word. Contrary. Y'all know what I'm saying, don't you? Did your grandma ever look at you and say, you're being quite contrary today, aren't you? Well, I ought to tell you how bad it was. The wind was contrary. You had seasoned fishermen out there in a boat. These guys were having problems. These guys were having trouble. But you notice what they did. They did what Jesus told them to do. Now, I don't know that when they shoved off from the shore, they saw the storm clouds. I don't know if they saw that or not. All I know is that whether the storm just came up or whether they saw it coming, they were being obedient to what God Almighty, what Jesus told them through God Almighty, you're going to get in a boat and you're going to go there. There's your destination. There is where I want you to be. Let me make you a promise today. If Jesus tells you He wants you over there, Satan is going to put every obstacle in the way, period. And all God's people said, He's not going to make it easy for you. He's not going to allow you to just gingerly walk from point A to point B. So as God's people, we need to expect that there are going to be storms on the horizon. But let me tell you the really good part about this. The really good part is every storm is in control of the Master. By the way, I don't want to always say that Satan is the one that causes the storms, because he's not. Sometimes it is God using the storm to get you where he wants you to be or do something incredible for you. Remember what I said a moment ago. Often the storms of life are the vehicle of God's coming in your life. Now, I'm going to make some interesting parallels here to my circumstance in just a few moments. Jesus knew what was going on. Seasoned disciples are out there in a boat. They're getting hammered. Now, I don't believe that they had the technology that we have today. I don't believe their boats were self-bailing. Okay? Y'all ever heard of a self-bailing boat? If you haven't, you've never whitewater rafted before and picked the wrong raft. Okay? They have those that are self-bailing, which means they basically have holes in them in the side so that when the water comes in, it essentially goes out. I made that mistake once, choosing the wrong boat. Because if you don't, you got little buckets in there that you got to keep from sinking. They didn't have that. They're in a bad storm. And when the captain of the ship is not real confident... Yeah, I've said it before. If I'm on an airplane, I mean, I'm not afraid to fly. It's not my necessarily favorite thing to do. But, you know, particularly nowadays, but if you get out there and you're sitting along the plane and you start feeling them bumps, you know, and the captain comes on and says, well, ladies and gentlemen, we've lit the fastened seatbelt sign. We experience a little bit of turbulence through here. He sounds all cool and everything else, you know. I got that. But see, it's when you're sitting there and the seatbelts are fastened and it looks like everybody in front of you looks like a bobblehead. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen it? And they're all going, you can see their heads bouncing around. And yeah. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, this is not good. And then you still have, the flight attendants walking through there going, fasten your seatbelt. Walking through that. No problem. I'm going to have a problem if the captain comes on and says, look here, y'all, we're having some trouble. Y'all sit down, buckle up, get everything out, pull the vest out, get them around your neck. And the flight attendants run through the aisles going, ah, we're going to die. Now, how would that make you feel? I mean, you know, as long as I'm hearing him going,
all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to climb out to about 40,000 feet to get up over this storm. So everybody just sit back, relax, and enjoy your flying. We're going to try to make it as safe as possible.
Yeah, when I hear that, I'm okay. I'm like, he's not worried about it, and he flies this thing. If he's not worried about it, I'm not going to be worried about it. And then I didn't have a pilot say, well, we just say that anyway. If we were in a nosedive toward the ground, we'd be saying, well, ladies and gentlemen, you might want to hold on there a little bit. We might be coming in for a little bit of rough line. You know, but at any rate, I'm not worried about it when the captain's not worried about it. Right? Are you picking up the parallel? I'm not going to be worried about the storm if the captain's not worried about the storm. And who is the captain of your life? Jesus has his disciples going purposefully and willfully into a storm that is bigger and worse than anything they've seen. They are essentially in fear for their lives, and as Grandma would say, the wind was contrary. It was trying to push them off course. It was trying to put them in a different direction, and they're doing the best they can to keep this boat going in the direction that it needs to go. And some of you today in your lives have said, I have been paddling hard to get my life in the direction that God wants it to go, and it's a rough, rough time, isn't it? The current's strong. The wind is contrary. Listen, don't give up. Keep paddling, because Jesus is going to show up in your situation. Verse 25 says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now the fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 in the morning. So sometime between 3 and 6 in the morning, Jesus shows up supernaturally walking on the sea. No surprise, you've read that a bunch of times, haven't you? And verse 26 says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Wait a minute. These are the guys hanging out with Jesus. Jesus shows up in the middle of their storm, and they don't recognize him. They think it's a ghost. Have you ever really pondered that particular scripture right there for a moment? I mean, these are the guys that have been with Jesus day in and day out. They've been watching the miracles. They've been seeing him preach. They've been feeding the crowds, all this. And they see him, and they really don't recognize him at this point. Matter of fact, at this point, they said it's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. In the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of your storm, let me make you the promise that Jesus is going to show up, but you have to recognize him. Now, we see this particular passage of Scripture in several of the Gospels. Now, one of the other Gospels also points out that as Jesus was walking by, it says, Jesus intending to pass them by. That's the way it states in one of the other Gospels. You know, Jesus was ready to get involved, but he needed to be recognized first. Let me scratch that. He wanted to be recognized first. So what does that mean? Does that mean that if they hadn't seen him, that Jesus would have just nonchalantly gone and just strolled on by in the middle of the storm? Another thing that you notice is as you go back to that passage, it says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the water, not running, not doing this, not having problems. Remember what I've always said. If there's somebody not having a Malox moment over your issue, it's God. He's not uptight. He's not freaking out. He's sitting there saying, I'm going to take you through a storm, but there's a reason I'm going to take you through the storm. We don't look at that, do we? See, most of the time what we're doing is going, oh, Lord, get me out of this. Oh, Lord, get me through the storm. Oh, Lord, make the storm pass. Instead of looking for what it is that God is trying to accomplish through the storm. In my life, I've really had to scratch my head and look back at the crazy things that have happened. And then when the dust settles, to see how God has worked in an incredible way. And I'm going to share a few of them in just a moment. It says they were troubled and they're crying out for fear. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now when I drove up in the driveway, you know, I'm sitting there going, and the Lord's saying, don't be afraid. It's all right. I got this. But we don't always feel that way, do we? We're still sitting there shocked and all going, this is a mess. What are we going to do? Really what we say is, what am I going to do, right? And you know what the Lord says? What you should do is give it to me and you do nothing, let me handle it. And that's not always easy, is it? What are we going to do? What are we going to do, God? Where do we go from here? And the Lord, listen, the Lord is showing up in your circumstance. He is showing up in your storm, and he said, don't be afraid. And I know what we're saying. A lot of us, listen, there are things going through your mind right now that the Holy Spirit has brought to your heart of times that you've gone through some things, and now Satan is giving you stuff going, yeah, but you don't understand my situation. You don't understand my storm. You don't understand what's going on. And you know what? You are absolutely right. I don't, but let me make you a promise. God does. And I'm not the one coming to save you. He is. I'm not the one telling you not to be afraid. He is. If you're one of his. And too many times we sit back and say, well, what is the purpose in all this? Start looking for it. He goes on and says, and then Peter, verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come onto the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Now, I mean, this is like really, really cool passages. And some of us, we've talked about Peter before. Some of us are going, oh, Peter. But I've said before, let's give Peter some credit. Peter is the one who actually said, I'm going to get my way to Jesus. The rest of you 11 cats can hang out here in the boat. I'm going where he is. Yeah, the rest of them are sitting there pulling on oars and trying to get the boat in the right direction. They're out there seeing Jesus going, Peter says, well, it looks a whole lot better where you are than where I am. Can I come out there to you? Jesus said, sure, come on out. And everything was great. I mean, we've heard thousands of sermons on this. Peter's walking, man. He's walking on the water. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him what that was like. What was going through his mind when he was on his way and the distance was decreasing between him and Jesus? And I'm going to say, what was it like before you started noticing the waves? When you had your eyes on the master, when you were looking in the right direction, when your focus was right. Now, that's a big word that I want to use in today's message is focus. What is it that we're focused on in the middle of our storms? Because that makes all the difference in the world. How do you handle the storm? Are you running up and down the aisle going, we're going to crash, we're going to crash? Or are you sitting there saying, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I mean, are you going to him? Are you saying, Lord, you've got this. You've got me. You've got this. Nothing's mine. It's all yours. Do we really have that heart? It says the wind was boisterous. When Peter noticed that, when Peter noticed the storm, that's when it began to unravel. That's when Peter began to sink. That's when Peter cried out, Lord, save me. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? That's short of saying, you know what, Peter, you were doing such a really good job to start with. What happened? Why couldn't you just keep your eyes on me? Why couldn't you just keep on coming? But you see, he was also close enough that Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up. And in the palm of Jesus' hand, it was calm, just like Peter thought it was going to be when he was on his way out there. Just like he thought it was going to be when he got there. The other 11 were probably sitting back there going, he's crazy. What's he doing? But yet they never got the experience of walking on the water like Peter did. Now, how does all that kind of tie in to the storms that may be going on in your life? And if they're not, they will at some point. Notice verse 32 says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Remember, Jesus was in control of the storm the whole time. When they got back to the boat, Jesus said, and it was calm. It's like, boys, let's run this video back. Let's see how you did. Let's see what happened. Verse 33, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, back to my experience, back to your experience, the storms that you have gone through, the storms that you are going through, the storms that are on the future, on the horizon of your life, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the storm or are you focusing on what it is that God wants to do? Now, I want to give you some examples and then I'm going to put a little caveat in there. About 2 years ago, I said to Jana, we need to make sure we're budgeting because we're going to need a new roof. Our roof is roof covering is getting to be about 30 years old. We need to start making some plans to have a new roof put on. A few months after that, we had the hailstorm of all hailstorms happen. I got video, man. Golf ball size hail beating up the house. That sounds horrible if you've not been in one of those. I mean, you're hearing it going boom, 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 boom. And I'm saying, ooh, 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 ooh. So then I thought, we got to get the roof checked. I was like, we might be having to put that roof on sooner than we thought. Well, we did. But you know what the really interesting part was? It wasn't $10,000. It was only the deductible because of the storm damage. I'm sitting there going, after it's over with, you sit back and go, huh. God just saved me $9,000. That's cool. Thanks. And then, you know, I'm just sitting here looking at this. I had just told Jana a couple months ago. I said, you know what? That outbuilding's getting really shabby. I said, we're going to have to do something about that. I said, I think the termites are getting into it. I said, we're going to have to do something about that. We got to start budgeting for that. We've got to get that taken care of when we get back from vacation. And now there's a tree that fell through it, and it is destroyed. But guess what? Insurance said, well, we're going to replace that and the contents. for your deductible. Them new gutters, they're going to be new again on the back side of the house. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, that wasn't what I was thinking when I was coming down here. Blake's state car that was having trouble passing inspection, he picked his new one up yesterday. It's got 1,300 miles on it. Got a brand new one. Brand new. You know what? And I'm sitting back here going, and I'm sitting there thinking, God's looking at me going, I got this. The tree alone, because of the way it was, what it was on, the house and everything else, had to be surgically removed. It took a professional. The tree on the ground, the limbs alone were still 28 feet high. They were still as high as the roof. $6,000 to have that tree cut up. Lord says, I got this. Insurance going to take care of that. And I'm going, well, them trees need to come out anyway. Now, here's the caveat I want to throw out. Don't you dare leave here saying that Preacher Roy is preaching prosperity theology, because I'm not. I'm not saying name it, claim it. In fact, I think the scripture teaches quite the opposite. That's not to say that the Lord, what I'm saying is the Lord will provide. There are some things that in the middle of your storm, the storm is the vehicle of Him showing up. And you know what? I'm going to come out on the end of this better than when I started. And so are you. So are you. And whatever it is, if you can get your focus right, you're going to come out of the storm better than before. You're going to come out of the storm having learned some things. You're going to come out of the storm having God moved you to where He wants you to be. And sometimes the only way that He can get our boat on His course is to have a storm wash us to it. You picking up what I'm putting down? Often the storms are the vehicle of His coming. But how we react to that, man, I have seen some really good things. I have gotten to know some more of my neighbors that I didn't know. Listen, we have been a photographic spectacle. People have been coming by before the tree was gone for days just to take pictures. They would walk by and go, is that a car under there? Is that a house behind that? And they were taking pictures. Come on, take pictures. Take all you want. Let me tell you what my neighbors did. Two of them that I just met right before we left on vacation, showed up in my driveway with chainsaws, showed up ready to help. A guy that they barely know. Let's get this tree. Let's get this tree off this car. Let's get this tree off this house. And I said, well, hang on. Man, thank you. Because that just doesn't happen in 2022, does it? I said, you don't know what that means to us. But let me call my State Farm agent real quick, because I got a feeling we're going to have some pictures of this, because they ain't going to believe it. And, of course, that's what it was. But listen, how many of your neighbors that you barely know, I mean, some of them I know real good, but some I'm talking about the ones on down the road, showed up that day to come to the aid of their neighbor. When Blake had to cut the back seat out of that vehicle with stuff, because he had to get some items out of it, and literally the tree hit so hard on the car that it went, mashed the trunk down and broke the rear axle. That's how hard it hit. He had to cut the back seat out to get the state documentation and whatnot out of it. And it's driving rain, and my neighbor's standing there handing tools. A contractor that I had contacted and said, I'm going to need you to do some work, was standing there in the driveway handing tools. I'm talking driving rain. And I looked around and I said, Lord, you know what? You have put a bunch of really good people in my life. You have brought them to my aid. And I told them, folks, I said, look, I know you didn't operate the chainsaw, but you will never know what that has meant to my family for you to show up in my driveway. Now, I can tell you what we're going to do. Before school starts back, right there on the corner of my house, there's going to be a pig cooked. And I'm going to get two halves, and I'm going to take some hickory wood, and we're going to have a barbecue on the corner for my neighbors as a way to say thank you and get to know each other. My one neighbor that I know, he said, I need some telephone numbers. He says, this is silly. We don't even have each other's phone numbers. He said, I should have been able to have called you. Give me your telephone number right now. Folks, that's God. That's God. You see, you're going to come through the storm better off than you were when you started if you keep your focus right. If you keep your focus on him, listen, like Peter. Peter was doing great. Hey, I'm walking on water. Yeah, it really reminds me. I think that might be where the Bugs Bunny cartoons got their deal, you know, when somebody walks off of a cliff, you know, Roadrunner Coyote thing. Yeah, Wile E. Coyote walks off the cliff and then goes, looks around, then he falls. Yeah, the zero gravity thing. Yeah, I think they got that from the story of Peter. Peter's out walking on the water and all is right with the world until he shifted his focus from the Savior to the situation. What are you focusing on today? The Savior or the situation? Now, you know what? There's still a lot of work that needs to be done at my house, but that's okay. It's going to be done. The gutters still need fixed. Part of the new roof still needs fixed. The outbuilding is completely destroyed. But you know what? When the dust settles, the Lord says, I'm taking care of you, son. I'm taking care of you. Now, again, don't you go out of here saying I'm preaching prosperity theology, because I'm not. I'm preaching God will bless you through the storm. There's a difference. I mean, I can't go home and say, oh, Lord, I need $1 million. You know what God would say? If you needed it, I'd know it and you'd have it. So what that means is, too often we don't understand the difference between wants and needs. And sometimes God has to make it rain on our parade to get our attention. Look, he's been raining on our parade at Central Baptist since the pandemic, hasn't he? Let me tell you something. It is time for us to quit looking at the storm and start looking at the Savior. It is time to say, you know, I really don't care what everybody else is. This is what God is calling us to do. Our business is reaching people for Jesus Christ, period. Reach them and disciple them. Whatever else happens, doesn't matter. It'll all fall into place. We've had a little hiatus. It's time for us to get back on the mission field. Whether it's across the street, whether it's across town, whether it's across the globe or wherever it is, and God will take care of his house. You know why I say God will take care of his house? Because the house I live in, it ain't mine. And some of you wiseacres are going, no, it's the bank's. Well, no, it's God's. It's his. And he's going to take care of that. I was dry, and I'll tell you something that's even more bizarre. If you look at pictures, you will sit back and say, I don't know how that happened. Because when that tree fell, it fell across my building. It hit a corner of my house. Like, if this is the corner of my house, there's a little offset entry right here. The tree hit right here, but it didn't destroy the offset. It moved on over and fell on the state car. If you look at it, you're like, it's almost like it bent around the house. It just raked off the gutters and the fascia and some of that stuff and mashed the car. It could have been a lot worse. And I'm sitting there going, literally, I'm walking around laughing going. Lord, you got a pretty good aim. It's a little frustrating at times because you got to go through the process. But in the end, the Lord is going to provide you victory. And you're going to be better off than you were before the storm. Don't give up. See, remember the other time, there was another time that a storm took place with the disciples. And Jesus was with them. Remember that? Remember what happened? Was Jesus running around going, jettison the cargo, bail, bail. What was Jesus doing? He was taking a nap. And the disciples were puzzled. They're freaking out. Remember when they woke Jesus up, do you remember what they asked him? They said, Jesus, look, man, get up. Jesus. Yeah, what is it, guys? What they said to him, don't you care that we're going to perish? Well, Jesus got up and was like, and stood up in a boat and he went, wind and waves, shh, 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 shh. Be quiet. And all of it went. Let me tell you something, Jesus does care. But if Jesus ain't sweating it, you don't need to be sweating it either. Stuff happens, doesn't it? Now, like I said, I'm not always going to sit back. I know Satan's going to put obstacles in our way on the path that the Lord has us going on. But sometimes God himself puts obstacles in the path along the way that we're going. And sometimes it's so that we will navigate in a different direction. How do you take a change of course, a change of plan? See, a lot of us don't like that, do we? We're my creatures of habit. You don't like detours, do you? I've come to the beach this way for 30 years. Why do they start doing road work when I'm coming down here? You see, what you don't like not being familiar with where you're going. Right? Come on now, confession's good for the soul. I've never seen this scenery before. Then there's the other clientele. I love y'all. Let me tell you why. Because wherever you are, that's the place to be. You're just riding down the road going, a detour. Well, let's turn right. Let's just follow the orange signs. We'll eventually get where we're going. Hey, look, I've never seen this before. This is a new field of cows. Ooh, look at that house over there. Yeah, and your counterparts over there going, confounded, frickin' fracking, no good, low down, dirty double crossing. And then the rest, some of y'all are enjoying life. Hey. I love y'all. Y'all aren't going to have a stress heart attack. You go with the flow. And instead of going, I hate this detour, you're like, hey, we're going to see some cool stuff. We might even see the world's largest ball of twine on the way. Or you'll even start Googling something to say, hey, what's on this route that might be cool for us to see? You take advantage of the detours. May we be the type that take advantage of the detours. May we have the faith that Peter had to get out of the boat, but may our faith be stronger to keep our eyes on Jesus and enjoy the ride. I don't think Peter was having trouble on his way to Jesus, do you? I don't think he was having to navigate the waves that was falling around. I think it was a nice straight path. But it wasn't until he started looking around and going, man, there's some big waves. And then he looked down and said, you know what? I'm not supposed to be walking on water. Wile E. Coyote. Whoosh. Same deal. Jesus said, you almost made it, Peter. Oh, almost. You were this close. Why did you doubt? You see, folks, there's a lot of storms in life. We've had a lot of storms around here lately. Literal storms. We've had a lot of figurative storms as well. It's not whether the storms come. The question is, how are we reacting to the storms? How are we reacting when we see damage? What happens when the outbuilding of your life is flattened? Sometimes God has to break us to repair us. I still remember growing up, at the time I thought this was one of the craziest, weird, glad it's not me things I'd ever heard. One of my friends growing up, had broken his leg. That was back in the day when you had the 40-story all-steel sliding board that you would take wax paper and wax up and everything, and you climbed like 40 stories up and you slid down it, and it didn't have safety rails, and nobody cared. You know, stupidity just weeded out. You know, if you weren't going to make it, you weren't going to make it. It was evolution, survival of the fittest. And he broke his leg on the slide. Still remember the day he did that. Well, the doctors are like, okay, you know, we'll put you in a cast. We'll do this. Well, then what happened was after the cast came off and everything, he was having trouble walking. He couldn't put weight on it. And what had happened was the broken leg had improperly healed. It didn't heal the way it was supposed to. So the doctor said, here's what we need to do. We need to do surgery, and we need to re-break that leg. Anybody ever had that? I know somebody's had some muscles had to be stretched out from a knee surgery. Oh, I still think about that, Marcia. Let's put you to sleep and let's just bend your knee all the way back up here. It's going to snap all those muscles and everything loose. It'll hurt a while, but you'll heal. They said, we're going to re-break your leg and we're going to fix it. That does not sound fun, does it? I thought, man, my poor buddy. And that's what they did. They put him to sleep. They broke that leg. They fixed it. But you know, the ironic part about it was later on, he was better than he was before. See, if he'd have left it the way it was, he never would have been able to have played athletics again. He would have had trouble walking. He would have consistently walked with a limp. But they fixed it. But to fix it, it had to be rebroken. You see, sometimes God has to break us to refix us. But let me make you the promise that if he does, when the healing's done, when the dust settles, you are going to be far better than you ever were. You might have to take the detour, but he's going to get you to the destination. And all along the way on the detour, let me make you this promise. He's probably protected you from something. Now, I've said this before. Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to have our invitation here in a moment. I've said this before. I can't wait to meet my guardian angel. I'll probably be able to pick him out. You want me to tell you why I'm probably going to be able to pick him out? I'm probably going to be able to pick him out because he's going to be the one that's the most beat up, skinned up, scratched up that's there. Because the Lord has been very good to me. And he has protected me. God's going to show you someday all of the things that flat tire that you had that you were so mad about, but the fact that you had the flat tire, God allowed you to have the flat tire to keep you out of the multiple car fatality incident right up the road. The times when things don't work out like they should, the trip that you were going on got canceled, but maybe that kept you from a situation of perishing. See, there's a lot of stuff going on that you and I won't know about until we come into glory. That's how you can thank God for the flat tire. Lord, I don't like changing tires. Not good for my hands, but you know what? Even a flat tire, there's a reason for. Do you believe that? And some people would sit back and say, well, now, Roy, you're getting a little bit too picky with that. No, I'm not. Let me tell you how I know that. Because the Lord says he knows the numbers of hairs on my head and he knows the number I washed down the drain this morning. And if he knows that much about me, he knows what's going on in the future. He knew that storm was coming. He allowed that storm. How many times has God protected us by taking us out of harm's way? And yet we were sitting there arguing about it. My trip to Hawaii got canceled. Well, it could have been your life that got canceled along the way. Hey, listen, take the detour and enjoy the ride. Look for the new scenery. I'm that kind of guy. I get a little antsy at first. I'm kind of half and half. I like familiar scenery, don't get me wrong. But you know what? When there's a bulldozer in the middle of the road and a big orange sign, it's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to have to take the detour. I'm going to find me a Denny's or something along the way. I'm going to find some reason to make that good. What are you doing to make it good? You know, we're looking around here. We got all kinds of issues. We've had storms around here. Our lights ain't half working. We got an air conditioning that's halfway working. We're going to blame Mark. That's it. No, no, I'm going to do that. It has nothing to do with an individual. It just has to do with that's life. That's the storms of life. We fix it as we can, and we move on. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to do it with a joyous, grateful heart. Because last time I checked, and here's the key, and then I'm going to be quiet. Are you ready for this? None of this is mine. None of this is yours. Out on Taylor Woods Lane, none of that's mine. None of that's yours. The house I live in belongs to God. The car I drive belongs to God. If he decides to smash it and give me another one, well, okay. It's all his. I can't tell you the number of times I've said, Lord, you have a problem. And you know what he says? He says, Roy, you're right. But let me tell you what else. I also have an answer. It's time for us to relax and enjoy the Lord, regardless of the circumstances. Let's take a little walk on the water, will you say? And don't pay attention to that storm over there. That wave ain't gonna get you. Jesus, is that you? Uh-huh. Can I come to you? Uh-huh. Well, here we go. That's when you can sit back and go, check this out, guys. The rest of y'all in the boat, watch this. Have some fun with it. By the way, God had a sense of humor. Remember? See, too many times we try to just spiritualize everything. I still love that passage in Kings where the armies, the Elisha and the prophets of Baal. And Elisha said, okay, we're going to build the altars, you know, call on. You guys go first. And then facing those insurmountable odds, if you really look at the translation, Elijah is saying to them, y'all need to holler louder. Baal might be using the restroom. I'm being kind, but that's really what it says. He said, maybe he's in the toilet, and that's the reason he's not showing up. God's got a sense of humor. He's cool like that. Enjoy the ride. Now, here's the thing. First thing is, do you know Christ? If not, let me make you this promise. The only call you're hearing in your life is to salvation. You can pray all you want to. He's not going to hear you until you're one of his children. He will hear the prayer of you surrendering your life to him. But there is something about that. What? That person can't get one past the ceiling. If you're not a child of God, you're not. He hears his children and he calls them by name. Have you ever trusted him? Have you ever given your life to him? Have you said in your life before, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I surrender my life to you. That's just part of that. That's initiating things. It says, those who call on my name and do my will. Are you going to follow what the Lord's word says? It's not just checking a box off and walking away. Are you going to live for him? That's where the proof really is. Have you trusted him? Listen, if not, then I'm going to invite you in just a moment. Hey, listen, I'd love to pray with you. That's why we're here. That's our purpose. That's the joy of my life, is leading somebody to Jesus. And listen, you know, it's not that conviction you feel in your heart. That's not rubbing off on the person beside you. That's for you. Lord's got real good aim, too. Maybe you're here today and you have been so caught up in the circumstances. You know, I look at this world, and this world is full of depression and everything else. And I'm sitting there going, look, man, we need to take a walk on the God side. He's got all this. We need to trust him. No matter how bad it looks, we need to trust him because we're going to come out on the other side. And I'm not saying that's easy. I'm saying it's possible. Is that what you need? Maybe you just need to lay some things down at the altar. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, look, I am so far from what I had planned. Maybe you're so far from what you had planned because you're actually on the track God has planned for you. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the scenery. That when you come into his presence, you might hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Remember, those disciples had to get in the boat. They had to be obedient and get in that boat. And they had to go to the other. They had to sail through the storm. What is it that you need to get right with him? If you're the prodigal son that needs to return home, do that today. Call and cry out to the Lord. Get up out of the hog pen. Come to the Father. He's waiting for you. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I've been doing this all wrong. Show me. Give me a new start and show me. He'll do it. Would you do that today? If you need me, I'm here. I'm asking you, wherever you are, you handle business with the conviction that God has put in your heart. Right now at this moment, don't wait for tomorrow. Don't say, I'm going to make a phone call. Do it right now. If you're driving down the road listening to this, pull off the side of the road and deal with what God has put in your heart right now. As we stand and as Brad leads us, you respond to God's call in your life. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Will you make your way there today? Listen, we're here for you. You do business with God. I'm also going to ask that our ushers, if they would, make their way to the front as we finish up this chorus of our invitation. Father, as we come to you again in prayer, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that, Lord, you are our provision. Everything belongs to you. Lord, you actually line up some storms in our lives to get us where you need us to be. Lord, I pray that we might truly be found faithful to navigate those storms in a way that you lead us, in a way that you teach us, knowing that you're going to bring us out on the other side even better than when we started. Because God, you are God, and there is none like you. You are the great I am. And Father, as we prepare to take this tithe and offering, you have simply asked for just a little bit back. May we be found faithful. Your word even says, try me. Here is a spot in my word where I am telling you that you can put me to the test, that if you're faithful in the tithe, see what I'll do for you. And Lord, if you can't trust us with what we've got, then why would you give us any more? May we truly be found faithful as we continue to worship and receive the tithe and offering, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the ensemble prepares to do our offertory, it's ironic. We wanted you to understand and hear the name of this. And this is not actually something we planned. I just got back into town yesterday. But what they're going to play for you for our offertory is Till the Storm Passes By. Thank you. love that one. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. And God always does that. Let me give you just a couple things here, and then we'll get you out of here. I'll get, where's David? David's here somewhere. I'll get you to close us in prayer because he's probably a little bit more in the loop than I am. But just real quickly, choir practice 4:45 this evening. Business meeting tonight 7:15. After our Sunday evening worship service. That's our normal monthly business meeting. Building and grounds meeting, is that still on for 3:30? Okay, building and grounds 3:30 here at the church. And once again, do continue to keep Monica Queen in your prayers as she's recovering from some oral surgery and then had a little bout with some medication that they had given her for pain, and keep Val in your prayers as Val's going to be as she's trying to keep Monica in line. That's an interesting story right there. I don't know if anybody can keep Monica in line, but if you're watching, girl, we love you. We're praying for you. Before we go, just don't forget this week. Actually, today, Marcia's birthday is today. She's 21, right? 21 years old. Give her a hug. Tell her happy birthday. And Carl Young, his is coming up this Thursday. Going to be another trip around the sun, right, brother? Another trip around the sun. So if you get a chance, be sure to let Mr. Carl, Miss Marcia know that you love them and that you're going to be praying for them. I hope they have a happy birthday and another trip around the sun, another good year. And then anniversaries tomorrow, Roger and Don Ree. There you are. I know where you sit. Why am I looking somewhere else? I'm looking a little bit right. How many years? 68 years. Wow. I love to pick at Roger and Don Ree, but I still remember when I first came here and had a chance to meet him. I said, that's sermon material right there. I said, you know, Roger is a picture of God's grace and how God just gracefully works in a life. I said, I don't know what Don Ree did to be punished by having a lifetime to be with Roger, but anyway, the Beauty and the Beast. Anyway, now we love him, and I'm picking 68 years. Congratulations, guys. That's very, very rare. We love you and hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful anniversary. And Don Ree, make sure he takes you out someplace nice, and if he doesn't, you let me know, and I'll fix it, okay? So anyway, guys, let's love one another until we see Jesus. David, if there's anything I have forgotten, left out, fill in the blanks, and I'll see you guys back here as he comes. Thank you. I hadn't preached in 2 weeks, and some of y'all are going, gosh, is he ever going to be quiet? So when you're on vacation, you lose track of time, and when you hadn't preached, you get ramped up. So thank you for the extra time today.
In your bulletin, there's a couple of things that have been in there a couple of weeks and a couple of things that have not been. The Men's Fellowship Breakfast, we're still having that at 10 o'clock on Wednesday mornings at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. The ladies ensemble, ladies night out, day out, whatever that is. I can't remember if it's day or night, but anyway, that's in there. But got a couple of other things in the Baptist on missions, regional rallies. We have them every year, twice a year, and they're coming up in August, and there's information in there. I'm going to read all that for you. You've got your bulletin. Read it. If you don't have a bulletin, pick one up before you leave. Also, Sunday morning, the first Sunday in September, we're going to try to get Sunday school rolling again the way it used to be, with some different classes. We'll give you more information about that. And then the church-wide picnic is on 9/11 this year. At Triad Park. So we'll have some sign-up sheets for that. There's information in your bulletin about all these things. Get a bulletin, take it home, put it on a refrigerator. If you're like me, you see the refrigerator very often, so it'll be reminding you to pay attention to what's going on in the life of the church. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house today, for this beautiful day that you've given us, and the opportunity that we have to be here. Lord, you have blessed us beyond all measure, and we want to thank you and praise you for your blessings. We love you, Lord. We know that you love us. God, help us to be a witness for you as we go from this place today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.